Welcome to another issue of Christian Doctor's Digest. This is your host, Dr. David Stevens. We've got a great lineup of speakers that I think are going to really meet some needs that you have in your own life. We're going to be talking to Ken Carpenter and about his new movie, One Generation Away, talking about religious liberty and the issue in our country. And this movie will equip you to educate others. Then we're going to be talking to Mark True and Kim Hawthorne about a new CMDA retreat in the beautiful mountains of Colorado where you can take your family and have a transformational experience. Well, let's don't take any more time. Let's see what God has for us in these interviews that can help us serve Him better. People ask me at times, how in the world do you decide who's going to be on Christian Doctor's Digest? And we put a lot of thought and planning into that, but occasionally things just fall in our lap. And that happened this week when I saw that Ken Carpenter was premiering his new movie, One Generation Away, and it's on religious liberty, one of the most important issues that we're facing in healthcare with healthcare right of conscience. So we got a hold of Ken and sat down and yesterday had the opportunity to talk to him about this wonderful project. Now, Ken is an award-winning producer, director. He's done a wide variety of films, video, and television projects, ranging from dramas to documentaries to music videos. He's worked with Amy Grant, The Newsboys, DC Talk, Casting Crowns, and organizations like Focus on the Family, Tyndale Publishers, Compassion International, Johnny and Friends, and the list just goes on and on. This is his latest project and one that is so important to each one of us as we face what's happening in healthcare. And I think he has provided us a very critical tool to inform people we know about this important issue. Let's hear what he has to say. Ken, religious liberty. This is something that concerns you. You've made tons of films. Why this one, and what do you hope it's going to do?
Dave, this film grew out of the desire on the part of the American Family Studios in Tupelo, Mississippi, coupled with Echolite Studios, to tell a film that looked at the changing face of religious liberty in the U.S. And they came to me with the offer to produce and direct the film. In God's great providence, it wasn't something I was looking to do, but I immediately resonated with the opportunity, had my ear to the ground enough to know that this was a growing concern in the country. And just from when we started production to when we finished the film and now into release, the landscape has changed considerably, and I'm so glad we had the opportunity to begin when we did. To answer your question of what do we want to do, we hope more than anything that it stimulates, as simple as it sounds, discussion on the issue. Not to issue a sweeping indictment, but we've had our collective head in the sands a bit in recent years, but now certain things are becoming clear, and the trajectory that we're on is alarming. And if we don't engage, who knows where we'll end up in a few years.
And I think accelerating. I mean, the trajectory is just... and you interviewed some really exciting people, and I'm sure you learned something from every one of them. So as you look back on that process of getting the interviews before you started putting the whole film together, what are the things that really grabbed you and said that's got to be in there? That's got to be in there. Things that you could share with us on your concern about the issue or ways to handle the issue. What did you learn?
I did learn a lot in this process. The biggest takeaway for me, Dave, is as elementary as it may seem, is that the free expression of religion in our daily lives is a core component of what it means to be an American. And as that comes under attack and as that is threatened, the trickle-down impact of that on our lives is vast. And the place where that was most crystallized for me in the making of this film was looking at the plight of wedding service providers, particularly in the Northwest. Now, many of my even friends and colleagues in the Christian arena would argue that Christ himself may have actually chosen to serve cake or provide the flowers at a wedding for a same-sex marriage. What I quickly saw, though, that when we're sorting this out in terms of religious liberty, is that the question isn't so much what the Lord would have done, but whether or not an American business person ought to have the choice to sort that out according to their conscience. Mm-hmm. And what's happening, of course, is that the government is intervening and saying, no, you don't have the space left to make that choice based on your religious convictions. And that, to me, is in clear contrast to a robust freedom of expression of our religious beliefs.
And not only that, you're a bigot if you don't. It's not just enough that we're going to make you do it. We're going to label you as for what you're doing, which is just amazing. When you begin to look down the road, what do you want this film to impact individuals? I mean, how can it equip our members, for example, Christian doctors across the U.S., medical, dental students, others in the healthcare profession, to better be prepared to deal with this issue? Because you're going to face it. I mean, it's coming everywhere, and yeah. I think even more places every day.
We are frequently asked when someone is stimulated to engage based on a heightened awareness of what's going on, you know, what can I do? What should I do next? And, of course, the low-hanging fruit is we need to put responsible elected officials in office who will stand on a principled basis. I should have preceded that with the notion that we need to pray first and foremost and ask the Lord to intervene and at this seminal time in our country. But then, you know, the thing I heard from a lot of experts and thought leaders that I interviewed around the country is that so much of the heavy lifting needs done by the citizenry in whatever sphere of life we're in, wherever God's got us planted. And by that, what the interviewees typically would explain is that, you know, the work needs done in the cul-de-sac, around the barbecue, at the school board meeting, when differing opinions are set forth loudly and clearly in the public space right now. We need to be equipped to say, well, let's consider another perspective and to be able to articulate that well. And so self-education on the issue of religious liberty is key right now. People have to be aware of what's going on. Hopefully, in some small way, one generation away connects the dots of things that are happening in the business arena, in the military, in the educational world. So I think to answer your question, the biggest thing we can do is to become aware of the issues at hand and then be willing and ready to engage.
Tell us about some of the people that you interviewed, because I think people would be interested to hear who they're going to see there. And I was just amazed looking at the trailer, how many different folks, and from both sides. I mean, it wasn't just people who would agree with our concern about religious liberty, those who you interviewed who want to take it away.
Yeah, on the for a robust defense of religious liberty side, we probably my favorite interview was Eric Metaxas in New York City, the author of the Bonhoeffer book, who sticks his neck out to draw parallels between, and Time Magazine poked fun at us for this, but Metaxas,
well, you must have hit it then, right on the head.
But Metaxas looks at the plight of Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Nazi Germany, who heroically stood up in the face of a government that was encroaching on the church. He tried to rally his colleagues to do so. It failed, and it ultimately cost Bonhoeffer his life. And Metaxas, at the risk of being labeled hyperbolic or incendiary, he draws the parallels and says, look, we're foolish if we don't look into history and see what we can learn. Now, you know, whether or not we're Nazi Germany or getting anywhere near that, that, you know, that's debate. Well, it's an interesting discussion to have. But he said, look, there's a price to pay when government encroaches on the liberties of the church, and we need to be mindful to examine that and examine it well at this time. So that was a great experience to interview him. Yes, we interviewed people on the other side from ACLU. We interviewed Dan Barker up in Madison, Wisconsin, the president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, Peter Singer at Princeton. And we knew that it was important to set forth their perspectives in the film so that viewers would be equipped to understand, you know, how a biblically centered perspective sits alongside or in contrast to that which we might hear, you know, on a university campus or on CNN. Mm-hmm. They're articulate. They were gracious. Their ideas.
And dangerous.
And very dangerous. You know, Peter Singer is a very kind man. The notion of him leading a class of underclassmen at Princeton and setting forth his ideas in the grandfatherly, alluring way that he does is, you're right, dangerous.
Yeah.
But fortunately, we were able to interview across campus, Robbie George at Princeton and other people around the country who I think see things a little more clearly.
Well, how can our members use this DVD to reach out to others? I think that's one of the things, because I know how concerned they are about religious liberty. But as you say, we've got to educate others. Do you see this as something that could be shown to a church group or shown to a practice group or shown to a community group? Or how are you hoping it's going to be used, and how can CMDA help you get that word out?
Yeah, well, it is being shown in a lot of different venues. Tea party groups, churches, community groups. There are all kinds of forums that are conducive to showing the film. And you can find information about screening the film at the movie's website, mm-hmm. onegenerationawaymovie.com. And the studio, Echolite Studios, wants the film to be shown. So they're even offering a free license, a free public exhibition license at this time, to encourage people to show the film. So, you know, one thing that the film says is that the citizenry has a lot of responsibility, our elected officials have a lot of responsibility, but the role that our clergy play at this time is critical. Interviewee after interviewee hit that very strongly, that if our pastors and our priests aren't willing to stand up and encourage their congregants to understand and then stand for religious liberty, our cause is going to face some real challenges. So the film does fit well in church settings, and we hope that it shows there a lot. We often do a Q&A session if myself or somebody else related to the film can be there, and that's always a very stimulating time of discussion.
Yeah.
People have questions, but there's a lot of opinions being voiced.
get a copy for yourself. Get a copy for your pastor.
Yeah.
You get a copy for your friends and start getting it out there.
Yes.
I think this is a tool, and I think that's something all of us have wanted, is a tool that we can use to educate people on this important issue, especially people that are just naive or even people that oppose us and speak the truth in love. Ken, thank you for what you've done in creating this and equipping us to be voices of righteousness into our culture. I sure appreciate it.
You bet, Dave. Thank you.
I encourage you to get this video and use it as a tool to educate others in your office, in your community, in your church, as I mentioned. I think this is such an important issue, and we dare not stand by the side of the road and just hope things are going to get better. We need to be proactive. And this, if you show it to your church or community group and you're there, it's an opportune time as this finishes to stand up, take a few questions, and talk about what's going on in healthcare and encourage people to speak out on that as well. It's available at cmda.org. You can give us a call at 888-230-2637. Don't wait. Do it today. We'll be right back. Jamie, I'm so glad I've got you in the studio because I'm getting ready to write those checks for year-end giving. Or maybe there's better ways to do it. What advice do you have for many of us who do a major part of our giving towards year's end?
Well, you're right. We're staring December 31st in the face here, coming pretty soon. And there's several options for year-end giving. I'm thinking about your year-end giving as well. Looking forward to that. Just a few highlights here. I wanted to mention some vehicles and some opportunities that may be in front of folks.
So what things do we need to be thinking about? How can we do this better?
Well, first of all, you need to think about what the best asset is to give. An asset can be cash. It can be appreciated securities. It could be other things like gold or closely held stock or real estate. Some of those things tend to take a little longer, may not be able to get that done by December 31st. Appreciated securities, if you have those, are always the best option from a tax-wise standpoint.
Because you get actually the benefit of the tax deduction for the gift, and you don't have to pay capital gains.
Absolutely. And you get the full deduction for the current value, not what you paid for it.
Yeah.
So the appreciated part really works in your favor.
If people want to do something like that, how does CMDA help them?
CMDA has a stock account, and all you have to do is contact us, and we'll share that information with you, which you in turn would share with your broker. And it's just an electronic transfer.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
What else do we need to be thinking about?
Well, let's talk about, for a second, just the best vehicle for giving. Sometimes writing a check is the easiest thing, and it's certainly one of the cheapest things for CMDA regarding receiving your gift. You can give online. A lot of people are using donor-advised funds these days. That's an opportunity to make a gift to a fund that you advise where it eventually goes without having to make a decision about where to be dispersed by December 31st.
And we can help people know how to set one of those up.
Absolutely. We have some great friends and Christian foundations who are more than happy to come alongside folks and really encourage them not to let their money sit, but to let their money work.
Yeah. You just mentioned online. You're talking about doing that with a credit card.
Well, from an online giving standpoint, most organizations, including CMDA, can now accept checks online. You can give by credit card, by debit card. And it's a great opportunity if you want to set up some kind of recurring giving, whether it be on a monthly or quarterly or whatever kind of basis.
Yeah, I like that because there's too much going on and I want to make it simple and make sure it's happening.
Well, we like it too because it really helps us to predict income for important ministry things that are going on year round.
Yeah, yeah. What about donor advised funds? I know some people put a lump sum in there and then decide how they're going to disperse it later. So they get stuff in by the end of the tax year and don't have to make all the decisions right away.
Yeah, donor advised funds are a great vehicle for folks like that. You don't have to sit down on the 31st and try to get to the post office and this kind of thing. And it gives you some time to think. You can make a donation, say $10,000, open a donor advised fund, and then say, okay, I want you to send $1,000 to here, $1,000 to here, but the majority of it, of course, to CMDA. And then you've already gotten your tax deduction when you give to the fund, but we still realize the gift and it works well.
Yeah. What other things would you advise?
Well, I want folks to really think about their giving. You know, do they want to give for something general? Do they want to give for something specific? What's your heart? What's your ministry? Give to those things that really are important to you. A lot of people like to give to startup projects. You know, those things need seed money, and nonprofits typically don't have a lot of that kind of stuff just laying around. Endowment, do you want something that's going to outlive you and act in perpetuity possibly? Or capital funds, you know, are there building projects that are going to be able to impact people for years down the road? So I think it's important to really step back, involve your family, and think about where you want to do your giving.
Yeah, and the plug I'd make, the hardest thing for us to fund is the general fund, which is the money that just puts the foundation under CMDA and lets us do ministry that are already there. So don't forget that, but do what God leads you to do.
Yeah, the core ministry fund that we call here at CMDA is just integral to everything that else that goes on across the organization.
Yeah. What about involving your family? I've heard some families that have been doing that through legacy gifts, but also even while people are still alive, putting money into their kids' hands and helping them learn how to give it.
I think that's the most important. You just can't expect your children to just know about giving if you haven't modeled it and been involved with it. The great thing about families being involved, there's some opportunities, especially with donor advised funds, that you can pass those things on to your children, and you can be involved in helping shape their goals and ideas for giving as well.
And even start while they're young. I think it's so cool to give a grandchild or someone a gift and then talk about tithing and say, now, here's the 10%. What kind of thing do you want to give it to? Let's talk about that. I mean, the earlier you start, the better, and then they know that you're modeling this for them. I know there's lots of questions that come up at the end of the year, and people are trying to think, who can give me some advice real quick? CMDA is here to help.
CMDA is here to help. We're happy to point you in the direction of experts and advisors that we know and trust who can help. And we also have someone on staff now who is full-time planned giving, can work with folks individually. He's an attorney. I think you're going to be hearing more from him in the days ahead on CDD. But we're excited about that.
Yeah, Jeff, it's just tremendous. And some of his training at Harvard and long years of experience. I'm just so excited that we've got that capacity in-house now to assist our members. Whether they're given to CMDA or not, this is a service to members that we want to make available. How can people get a hold of you?
They just need to give us a call. They can call the toll-free line, 888-230-2637, or drop us an email at stewardship@cmda.org.
Jamie, thanks so much for all you do.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
A camp retreat experience can transform your life. I know it did that for me and our family when I was young. That's why it's been a joy to be at Spring Canyon near Buena Vista, Colorado, a number of times speaking. This is an Officers Christian Fellowship camp. Officers Christian Fellowship is a ministry to Christian military officers in all branches. And they have a special medical week there. And I've spoken there a number of times, as well as other people you'd know. It's a time of transformation and renewal. And it had impressed me so much, I thought to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful if CMDA had an experience like this that it could offer our members? And we decided with Officers Christian Fellowship to partner and have a special week at their camp in Buena Vista for CMDA members. I've asked two people to join me here at the microphone to tell you about that. One is the camp director, Colonel Kim Hawthorne, retired. He graduated from the Air Force Academy, 28 years of service, flew F-15s, was a squadron commander, and he's married to Carrie Ann. They actually met and married at Spring Canyon years ago. And then Dr. Mark True, who's a colonel and active duty. He's an endocrinologist, associate professor of medicine, directs the Endocrinology Fellowship Program at San Antonio Military Medical Center. And his wife, Lois, and they have three sons, have had a number of times of being at Spring Canyon. He's going to talk about how that impacted his relationship with his kids and some of the programs there. Let's hear more what they have to say. I think you're going to be excited and perhaps find a wonderful opportunity for restoration and renewal for your family this next summer. Kim, let's talk a little bit about Spring Canyon, and let's kind of look at it from 40,000 feet. I mean, what is the overriding purpose? We're going to talk a lot about all the wonderful things that are there, but tell us kind of what the hope and vision is and mission of Spring Canyon's ministry.
Well, Dave, Spring Canyon is a ministry of Officers Christian Fellowship and is a retreat and conference center that is located in Buena Vista, Colorado. Since 1962, Spring Canyon has really served military families, couples, singles, and Christian groups from across the world as a home away from home for community and fellowship. What we seek to do at Spring Canyon, Dave, is really to create a Christ-centered sanctuary for military families, groups, and individuals where the presence of God transforms their lives. And it's a place where guests, I see it time and time again, are refreshed, they're equipped, and they're inspired to serve exactly where God has called them to serve.
You know, I know how the power the camps and retreats had in my life, especially as a young person, and I've experienced that there at Spring Canyon as well. Mark, you've been involved in the Father Teen Adventure, which is one component of what Spring Canyon does. And I remember the powerful impact of doing something with my dad. Tell us about the Father Teen Adventure.
So the Father Teen Adventure is something that I've experienced with two of my sons. I have three sons. My oldest is now almost 17, and so I participated in this event 3 years ago with him, and then this past summer I participated with my 14-year-old son. And it's a little bit different from the family camp where families come and recharge. It's really more focused on a father with their particular teen. Usually it's just one at a time, and that's how I've done it so far. And it's really a chance for me to just stop my busy life and focus on the one son. And I would say that it was an opportunity to experience just the beauty of the location in Colorado. There were a lot of physical activities like whitewater rafting, rock climbing, and things like that, just to experience together with very experienced guides leading those activities. There was a spiritual dimension and discussions about, for sons, what it means to be a man. And there were opportunities for relational activities, one-on-one, where I could tell my son that he has what it takes to be a young man and to give him a charge to do that. So it was really an opportunity for somebody who may have not had the tools or the time otherwise to step outside of the busy life and enter into that with each of my boys the two times that I've done it.
What's been the impact on your relationship with your boys because of this? I mean, what kind of feedback you get? Of course, I know it's hard to get any feedback from a 14 or 15-year-old, but I mean, what did you see, happening during that week that, after the first time you said, I've got to do this with the next son?
Each of them appreciated the experience very much. And they both said, this is just so great to be able to be with just you, Dad. So I was surprised at how much they expressed that and how much they felt bad about the experience. I certainly thought that going in it would be a special time where I could just focus on one at a time. But they certainly felt that and appreciated it. They appreciated the words that I had to share with them. And the experience creates the environment to do just that, to have a meaningful passing of a blessing, for example, or a charge, just due to all the activities and the discussions that are happening there.
And they have not only father-son weeks, but they have father-daughter weeks as well. So this isn't just for the father and the son, but it can be the other direction as well. In fact, when I was there, we went down looking at some of the facilities, and they were doing this banquet with little tables and, candlelight, and the father-daughter were going to have a banquet together, dinner together that night. It was the last evening of the week, and I go, wow, that was special, making memories.
And Dave, just a couple more things to add to what Mark has said. Since 2009, I've had the opportunity to take all three of my teenage children. I have two daughters and one son on Father Teen Adventure. And what is just a beautiful thing about Father Teen Adventure, it's really designed for fathers to help build, maybe repair or reestablish a solid biblical relationship with their teen. I know in my case, on the three times that I went on it, it was such a tremendous opportunity to have an impactful and memorable time with each of my children. And I know that it was a common shared experience that drew us together as a father and a son and a father and a daughter. And some specific things that we're able to do, as you mentioned, there is a difference between our father and son and our father and daughter. Our father and son FTA focuses on authentic manhood. There's a special ceremony that Mark referred to that enables fathers to give a blessing to their son and encourage him to transition into manhood and to be a godly man. And our curriculum for that, which is just really neat to go through, is based on the book Raising a Modern Day Knight by Robert Lewis, where we create an opportunity for fathers, just as I did for my son, to provide him a blessing and then to give him a charge to go into manhood and to be the godly man that God called him to be. The other, for my father-daughter experiences with my two daughters, we really focus a lot on what it is to be an authentic woman of God. What are the differences between men and women, and how does that play into all of our relationships? We talked a lot about how should a man treat you. And the key event that you mentioned was really our daddy-daughter date night and an opportunity to give a blessing to each of our daughters that were there. And that was just a very special time. There's a special time spent as we do a camp out around the fire pit, just sharing from our hearts to our daughters, each father with their own daughter, about how special they are, and to give them a blessing to really set the stage for them to move into either being an authentic man or an authentic woman of God.
Yeah, it's impressive, and it's such a great tool, and you know, that we desperately need in this day and time. Kim, let's go back and talk a little about Spring Canyon and the family outreach. I've been there 3 or 4 times, spoken, and I mean, it's one of my favorite things to do is to go and be there. You know, the speaking is a small price for all the great things we get to do, and Jody and I having a great time together. In fact, we took our whole extended family and went out there for a family retreat. So tell us more about the camp.
Yeah, Spring Canyon is just a great place. I've been coming here myself since 1982. I first was introduced to Spring Canyon at my time while I was at the Air Force Academy. But what I have seen time after time, year after year, is that guests, when they come to Spring Canyon, they experience God's presence, His spiritual renewal, growth, and actually even healing a lot of times in their family. It gives many families an opportunity to reconnect in the Rockies. Most importantly, an ability to reconnect to God. And many come emotionally and physically tired, but when they leave, they've been refreshed and they're made ready for their journey. And it's really neat to see how that happens in that transition throughout the week. But it really is also a place for an adventure. The neat thing is that Spring Canyon is nestled in the beautiful Collegiate Peaks. We have 107 acres here at Spring Canyon, butted right up next to the Rocky Mountain National Forest. 3 ponds, lots of activities doing the ponds, kayaking and canoeing.
We have and trout fishing.
Trout fishing, yes, sir.
Don't forget the most important thing, Kim, from my perspective.
It is great. And so, you know, what we see is Spring Canyon and the programs that we have here, the program you mentioned for our families is a summer celebration. It's sort of the cornerstone of our summer programs. And summer celebration is a series of week-long retreat vacations that feature really outstanding programming for all ages. There's 8 different weeks that we have during the summer, but it enables families to leave the weight of all their sort of normal day-to-day activities behind. You know, it gives opportunities for husbands and wives to reconnect in a romantic setting through time together. There's vibrant teaching, small group sessions led by very respected and life-tested speakers. Teens and children, there's activities for them. They have also an opportunity to grow in their faith and to build lasting friendships and have that age-appropriate adventure that is guided by an exceptional teaching staff. And so we also have here some delicious home-cooked meals. We serve family style around the table, beautiful lodges with fireplaces, just an opportunity to sit back and relax and to see how God is working your life, because we create an environment here where people experience God day by day. And it's just unique blessing and an honor to be able to see how God works in families' lives here through all the various activities that we have.
Well, you've been expanding, and there's more housing that used to be, and I was so delighted that you guys are open to having CMDA families come and enjoy these weeks, as well as the father-teen adventure. And it's been exciting to see all the new development, but there's so many fun things to do. I mean, from whitewater rafting down the river to canoeing and kayaking and rock climbing and hiking and in the winter, snow tubing, and it just goes on and on and on. There's horseback riding nearby and great fly fishing and challenge courses, and you know, it's just one of the most relaxing and enjoyable weeks of fellowship and growth that I've ever experienced. If people want to get more information, Kim, where can they check into this and see about something perhaps for next summer or even off-season? A great opportunity to take a group there. That's what we did. We had a family reunion there and had a whole large lodge big enough for a whole side of my family, brothers and sisters, and their families and lots of kids, and we just had a great week. So it's not just the summer program. There's opportunities to do a lot more there as well. So how can people find more information?
Dave, they can go to springcanyon.org. It describes every one of the programs that we've discussed and many other programs that we have. We have over 2,300 people that come and use Spring Canyon in our various activities each year. We are open year-round, 24/7, 365. There are activities that are taking place. We do have a lot of focus on summer. We also have winter sports retreats that take place over Christmas and New Year's. And so we would love to have CMDA members participating in all of our activities. I know that it'll be a time that people will look back on and have an opportunity to say, boy, that was a great time where we really grew in the Lord and had a fun time as a family. So I do encourage CMDA families to come and experience. We have two brand new lodges. We have renovated a majority of all of our chalets. We have further expansion taking place in the future. And so Spring Canyon is really being used by the Lord to reach out to families around the country to be able to really be refreshed and equipped and inspired to continue to serve exactly what God has asked them to serve.
Thank you so much, Kim, for opening the facility and to a wider group. And we're just so glad you have the capacity to do that, that we can get on and all the good things happening there. And Mark, thanks for sharing so much about how this impacted you and your boys. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys back out there again really soon and hopefully bringing a lot of other CMDA people with us. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I hope you're as excited as I am about the opportunity to get away with your family, to be restored and renewed. Let me give you some dates. We actually have two camp experiences back-to-back next summer. The first one is at Deer Valley, which we haven't talked about today, but CMDA has had a camp there a week for CMDA members since 1949. It's a Christian dude ranch, beautiful horseback riding, chuck wagon, breakfasts out early in the morning, hiking, camping, just marvelous. And that is June 18th through the 25th near Buena Vista, Colorado. And then the next week, June 25th through July 2nd, is a week set aside for CMDA members at Spring Canyon. And Walt Lairmore with his wife Barb are going to be speaking that week, we know already. And it's His Brain, Her Brain will be the topic. It's a fascinating book they wrote and a lot of great information. And they've got wonderful children's programs and all the other things you've heard about. So I encourage you, don't delay. It's going to fill up. Plan for your family to have a wonderful time together next summer in beautiful Colorado. To find out more, go to cmda.org. Or if you need more information, give us a call at 888-230-2637. Let me give you some CMDA updates. First of all, our placement service. Some of you have used that. It's a wonderful ministry that helps match up Christian colleagues with the same expertise to practice together. They're expanding. They now are covering primary care specialties of family medicine, internal medicine, pediatrics, med-peds, surgical specialties, OBGYN, dentistry, physician assistants, nurse practitioners, and also adding psychiatry placements this fall. So it's been great to see this ministry and how it's really wedded people together who have the same desire to honor God through the practice of healthcare. To find out more information, just give us a buzz or go online at cmda.org. One of our staff will be happy to help you. It's hard to believe, but the CMDA National Winter Conference is just a few months away, and the dates are February 14th through the 21st. It's not too late to book to come because we're going on a beautiful cruise in the middle of winter, heading down to the Eastern Caribbean with two fantastic tracks, Dr. Richard Swenson is going to be speaking. Dick will be talking about the keys to living above circumstances. And there'll be a second track if you want to opt for that with our Marriage Enrichment Conference, which was very popular the last time we did this. Don't delay. Pick up the phone or go online at cmda.org and let us know you want to come. I think there are still a few places left, but it's filling up quickly. It's not too early to be thinking about the CMDA National Convention. April 21st through the 24th. Mark it on your calendar. Usual place, Ridgecrest Conference Center in beautiful Ridgecrest, North Carolina, just down the road from Asheville and the gorgeous Smokies. I love getting down there for the national meeting. It's a time of networking, fellowship, and great inspiration and training. Our plenary speakers this year are Dr. John Patrick, and you always enjoy hearing him. Johnny Erickson Todd is going to be with us. What a blessing that's going to be. And our Bible teacher is going to be Vishal Magalwadi. And you're going to say, I can't even say that. I can't either. But he's a wonderful apologist and Bible teacher, and he'll be doing our morning sessions. There's family programs, children's programs, a lot of breakout sessions, and yet in a relaxing atmosphere where you'll be renewed and restored. I encourage you to come and consider bringing a student or resident with you as your guest. What a blessing that would be in their lives. Hey, don't forget about your membership. It's easy to do in the busyness of what's going on in your life. But your renewal is crucial to CMDA's financial stability. How's that? That's about as simple as I can make it. And so often people think they're still members and they're not because they didn't take action on one of those six reminders we send people that haven't renewed. You know the best thing to do? Just go do an automatic dues deduction from your checking account or your credit card. You can do that at cmda.org. Set it up. It's done. It just happens. And as our appreciation for saving us those postage and all that type of stuff and contacting you, you'll get an automatic dues discount of 10%. Or maybe you want to think about lifetime membership and just sign up and it's one payment and it's done forever. And we see more and more of our members doing that. Membership is so crucial because what it does is it's our relationship with you. We can put information into your hands and we can represent you. And you're helping us by supporting us in the student ministry on all those campuses we're on, our evangelism outreach, our missions, and everything we're doing in public policy. You're helping us do the things you don't have time to do yourself, but which you really care about. Why don't you do it today? Well, it's hard to believe that 2015 is almost over. What a year of ministry for CMDA. By far the busiest one and most productive that I've had here at CMDA in the last 21 years. God is just doing marvelous things on campuses and individual lives. I wish you could just read the testimonials we get from students and residents every month. I couldn't survive med school if it wasn't for CMDA. Thank you for keeping my focus where it needs to be during these difficult years. Thank you for teaching me how to integrate my faith into the practice of medicine. I'm renewed, I'm restored when I come to the CMDA meeting each week. Things we hear from mission trips. I was just reading one this week, and a person said, you know, I had never shared the gospel with anyone. I knew I should, I was just afraid to do it, and I did it on this global health outreach team. And someone came to Christ, and I just realized I could do this. I'm changing my practice as I go back. Or someone on a Medical Education International talking about how they actually met a Chinese doctor from the United States while they were in China. And that Chinese doctor who was visiting China came to Christ because he came to some of the medical education events and developed a relationship with some of the people there. God is just doing marvelous things. Then you multiply that in missions, not just through GHO, but what's happening at the Global Missions Health Conference, the huge renaissance that we are seeing in medical mission interest. We now have over 1,500 students and residents who say, God has called me into career missions. Mentor me. Keep me inspired, encouraged, help me get overseas so I can make sure to get to the field. and then the many missionaries that are already out there. In just a few months, I'll be heading over to Greece for the Continuing Medical and Dental Education Conference, and they're expecting somewhere between 750 and 1,000 missionaries who are on the field now, medical missionaries there for that 10-day conference. And I can still remember last year in Thailand when a doctor walked up to me, looked me in the eyes, and said, I wouldn't be on the mission field if it wasn't for this conference that renews and restores me. And she was working in a very difficult-to-access country in terrible conditions. God's doing so many things through so many parts of CMDA, and I want to thank you for making it possible. I want to thank you for being a member. I want to thank you for your support. I don't do this. Your prayers, your finance make our staff able to do what they're doing for you. And we're your ambassadors. We serve you. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing. And as you come to the end of the year and you think about how you're going to do your financial support, I encourage you to think about CMDA. Give generously. The hardest thing for me, it's kind of like being a missionary doctor. And I remember getting overseas and something would come in and I had the expertise and I knew how to handle it, but I lacked a piece of equipment or a drug that I needed to take care of this patient. And how frustrating that was for me. I remember a child that had a beam caught in their bronchus, and we didn't have a bronchoscope small enough to get into that child and get that bean out, and ultimately got pneumonia and died before we could get one. I have the same feelings when I see ministry opportunities and ways we can make a difference and just don't have the finances to enable it to happen. So as you give generously. God's given us wonderful opportunities, more that we can be doing. We can make even a greater difference. That's my passion, because these are desperate times in our country and in our world as we look at what's happening around us. And we need to take advantage of the opportunities we have to bring people to Christ in this country and around the world, to strengthen students and residents and doctors in practice for all the challenges on religious liberty and other things going on in our country. And with your help, we can. So as you think about your support, write a check. Go online, give us something online this year. Be generous, pray about what God wants you to do, and I know and trust that God's going to provide our needs in this next year to make even a greater difference in His kingdom. May God bless you as we move into 2016, and may He use you to be His ambassador, His missionary in your practice, wherever you are, touching people's lives, your colleagues, your patients, and being a faithful witness for Him. God bless you.
Christian Doctors Digest is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on Christian Doctors Digest are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Christian Doctors Digest reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.